This is Will's Band of the Week for June 23rd, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey there, Will.
And David, having recently moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom from the New York City Bureau.
Hello, hello.
Are we going to just still call it the New York City Bureau, or is it going to be the... I think that maybe is better than just calling it the Brooklyn Bureau. What do you think?
Yeah, I could go with New York City.
Because you can cover basically the entire New York City. You don't need to be restricted to Brooklyn.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I just realized the other day that there's a concert coming up that ordinarily I would think, wow, this I have to go to. Not to mention the fact that it's free, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's always in Central Park, and the openers are Ellis and the Courtneys.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good bill, right? Especially
for
$0.
Right.
And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking... Yeah, but it's in Manhattan. I have to commute to that. I don't know. So I've already been spoiled by being in Brooklyn.
How far is that for you now?
Well, it would be at least two subway trains. At least one transfer. Maybe two transfers, actually. Probably about 45 minutes or so, maybe more.
Yeah, it still might be worth it.
I still might get there. But, you know, I've already become a Brooklyn snob, is what I'm saying.
So, you know,
I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I mean, it's in
three
terms
or four of
of
the places that I generally go to are very close by now, and they used to be not close by at all. So,
it's going to be a net gain then, or a net positive in your live report abilities, right?
I think so.
So, if you take a train to a show in Brooklyn, are they always going to be running? Like, do they all run 24 hours? I know, I think, well, Craig has run into this problem where he'll take a train somewhere, and to get back, he has to, like, get to the train by, like, 11 p.m. or something, because they stop running. Do you ever run into that problem, or is it just there's so many that it doesn't matter?
Theoretically, the subway runs 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when things just kind of get very, very undependable late at night.
Hmm.
So I tend to have to take much of the time. I have to take an Uber to get back if it's midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an expense.
Right.
But not anymore. Not from here.
Yeah, you're a lot closer now. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's really good.
So, in fact, I could actually bike to some of these venues, but I don't know if I want to bike back at midnight, especially after a few beers. That's probably not a good idea.
You know, speaking of bikes, we have this bike sharing thing in Madison called B-Cycle. Barrett, have you ever used those?
I used it once, yeah.
So they have a station two blocks from Fourth Bedroom Studios, and they just upgraded all the bikes to electric assist. So it's kind of cool.
That is cool.
It's not like a scooter in Austin where you can just throw it on the street when you're done with it. You just take it and you just throw it, right? On somebody's lawn or whatever. It's so weird how they do that.
Right.
You have to take it to a station. And then through my credit union, $20 a year for a membership.
Wow.
And it's like, well, I'll take one of those electric bikes every once in a while. So I just did it yesterday. Grant was playing as part of this Make Music Madison thing, where there's bands all over town on the summer solstice. And so he was playing at a place a little over a mile from my work, and I had a little bit of a tight time frame, so I took an electric bike about half the way and walked the other half. But it was kind of neat.
Yeah,
I could see myself using those on occasion.
Does it go kind of fast, or
the electric assist works up to 17 miles an hour?
Okay,
then it stops assisting. So
yeah. that's a pretty good clip.
And you have to pedal. Mm-hmm. It's not an independent like electric scooter, but you can not pedal very hard. Right. You know, it's about half the effort, maybe. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah.
Those replace all the other ones then?
Yeah.
Can you just disable the assist if you want to? Or?
Yeah, you just turn it on or turn it off.
Okay.
And they're not big, heavy bikes, so if you have it off, it's not like this big, heavy, unwieldy thing. It's still very rideable. So,
because have you seen some of those big bikes that they've got like on the bike trails now?
Mm-hmm. You mean the big fat tire ones? Yeah, yeah.
And they're motorized.
Yeah.
And you know, you see some old guy like flying up a hill, like Jesus Christ, look at this guy go!
Yeah.
It's kind of a
He's getting a bit some of a assistance. Menace. Yeah.
But
technically, you're not supposed to have electric assist bikes on a bike trail, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how are they going to know if you have the assist on or not, unless you're an old guy going really fast up a hill?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's bike news. Let's see. The sports news, the Brewers have lost like every game since the last time we did a podcast, so we should probably just forget about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how the Timber Rattlers are doing. I don't know if David still follows them after he left his job as the GM.
No, I don't really know what's happening in the minors. I don't even know what's happening in the majors. But I know Craig is watching the cricket, probably as we speak, is watching the cricket World Cup in Manchester, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent a picture of it, and I looked at that picture of the field. I'm like, what is that on that field? Like, I don't even know what it is. Like, I know about cricket.
Little cricket setup.
Well, I'm with you. I know very little, but I looked up the standings, and at the moment, Australia is on the top of the World Cup, so Nicholas should be happy.
Yeah. He's probably following that extremely closely.
Yeah, today was maybe New Zealand against West Indies. So,
you know, I was as I was going from my work to Grant's thing yesterday, I walked past the Sylvie, our arena rock venue, and I saw people loading in and out. And I was in that kind of near east side neighborhood, and I realized I could have been in the presence of 38 Special because they were opening last night at Bree Stevens Field, which is just about two blocks from where I was.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what if I ran into them on the street? Would that be cool or what? Didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Wow. No,
it was just a dream.
Just a dream. I actually thought about, I was busy, but just to stand outside of the, it could be because it's an outdoor thing.
Right.
You could be standing on West Washington or East Washington
and
hear it, which would have been pretty
That's
amazing.
True. That's true, because I went by it, and you could see the stage, you know, right outside.
Yeah.
You could hear it very plainly, probably, if you were just on the sidewalk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, God, I feel sad that I didn't think how great that would be, yeah.
Yeah. Caught up in You or Hold On Loosely coming through those big speakers. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It would just, you'd be in a state of sort of just euphoria, like you'd be on in a cloud.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, well, we didn't think of that. Well, of course, Barrett, you had a thing going on, so I think it's time
had a show.
Yeah, we better play the jingle. So Barrett has a live report. Unfortunately, I was not able to make this event, but it wasn't just Barrett attending a show, but you actually hosted
a show, which is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you were kind of, you know, worried about making it, you know, you were talking about getting a PA and stuff like that.
Yeah,
beforehand.
Yeah.
I saw this on Twitter. It was all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it was trending heavily in the Madison area, for sure. Probably nationwide.
Right.
Yeah.
But his name is Bill McKay, and he's on Drag City out of Chicago. He's got an album that came out in March, and I heard it on Chirp Radio. I think I've mentioned Chirp a couple times.
Yeah.
And like, wow, what is this? And I got the album and listened to it a bunch of times, and then I just went on Twitter. I was like, I'm going to find out a little bit more about this guy. And he had a small enough following on Twitter that I thought, why don't I just, you know, give him a message and say, hey, would you maybe be interested in playing in Madison at a small place? And he was. So that was great. I mean, I was, you know, euphoric about it. But pretty much every day between that agreement. And when people actually showed up, I was so nervous. It is terrible. Now I remembered why, you know, we have another kid that does this now. He does all the booking because I don't want to be, I can't take it. You know, it's like, you know, we're an hour and a half before the show and nobody's there.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
you're nervous, but you realize like, why would anybody be here an hour and a half ahead of time? That'd be insane.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop you from like, you know, wishing you were dead. You're so nervous. And people finally did show up, and we had a pretty good crowd of there's a couple that left and a couple of groups came and went and passed each other during the show, but I would say the average was about a little over 20 people, like 23 people, which is pretty decent. I was hoping for more, but everybody was very attentive and bought a lot of merch, which was nice, and the guy was super cool. And as far as what he does, he's got a hollow body Telecaster and a bunch of pedals, and then like a Fender amp for his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he had asked me to get him a PA system. I was like, no problem. I'll just ask Will. Like, but then I didn't ask him until like Wednesday. I was like, this is not a big deal. And then I realized like, oh shit, because you know it's this Make Music Madison thing that you were talking about, and everybody. You know, I also asked Jason, and everybody like had all their stuff like promised out already.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But my neighbor had this old 1955 tube amp, which I showed you a picture of.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like plug that into a speaker, and that functioned as the PA. And I was also worried that wasn't going to be good enough for him. But he's like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of, we'll do this kind of punk rock style. Like, oh, okay. It looks like he's happy enough with it. So, and he sounded great.
So it worked.
It worked.
That photo was, it was just, it looked like a total classic. It looked so old, though, that I would wonder, like, are the tubes still reliable in something that old? Or
yeah, totally. Like,
you know,
bringing it from my neighbor's house into the car and then from my car into the thing, I'm like, there's no way this is not going to get effed up.
But then you tested it out and it worked.
We did test it out, yeah.
But when you said it sounded good, was that at your friend's house, your neighbor's house?
When he did it, yeah. I mean, he knows what all the knobs and stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then some of them got kind of switched. And so when Wilson played, he played a synthesizer through it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fooling around with them. And I couldn't really kind of get that good sound back again. But the performer did a sound check and got it dialed just so. It sounded good.
Good.
That was cool.
Very cool.
So can I ask you about the business end of this venture?
Mm-hmm.
Was this a free for customers?
No, it was a suggested donation. So we had some people came in and didn't pay anything, and other people paid $10.
Uh-huh.
So on the balance, I had to offer them a guarantee, and we ended up paying more than anybody else to see it, but you know.
And as the greedy promoter, did you keep most of the proceeds, or did you
well, the idea was that he was going to get all of it, but he got all of what he saw. Like, I took a lot of it that he wasn't aware of,
right?
You know what I mean?
In secret.
So he got like $30 and I got like, you know, like $400.
Sounds about right.
No, we never take any of it. And anytime we have a show, like, the best we hope to do is to kind of break even, you know?
Right.
And
sell coffee, too.
Yeah, you sell a little bit of coffee and some beers and stuff. But, you know, a lot of times we'll have shows and, you know, we'll get nervous about the attendance and invite our friends, right? And then you're, like, giving everybody free beers and stuff. You don't, In the end, you know, you're always just like, please, 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 people show up. And it's not because I was like, look, if I lose a bunch of money, and it wouldn't have been like a bunch of money, but like, you know, $150 or something, like, I literally don't care at all. I just don't want to be, I don't want to have that embarrassing conversation afterwards. Like, yeah, sorry, not many people came, and, well, you know, I just want it to be acceptable, and it really always is. And after the show, the person's always like, and so was Bill last night, like, well, I hope I can come back again. This is really great. And I, oh, thank God. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. It's worth doing. I mean, it's not obviously independently. They're not money-making ventures, but
right. It's
probably a good way to get some people to come to your shop who might not otherwise, and maybe they'll come back. And it's just goodwill for the business, I would think.
It is goodwill. And it's amazing, you know, like you would think that if you were putting on a show and you got picked, like the weekly, you know, we have an alt weekly called the Isthmus, and it was one of their spotlight picks, that would attract a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't.
Right.
Nobody reads that. And this guy, Scott, who does this Tone Madison, you know, that like online music magazine.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He interviewed him and promoted it heavily on Twitter on his site and blah, blah, blah. He had like one person come as a result of his work. So,
boy, it's just, there's too much competition for people's attention.
There is. So,
right.
But in the end, it was a lot of fun and the music was great. And,
there were probably, there were probably 1,000 people who would have come, but they were watching 38 Special.
Well, that's the thing. If you had a Venn diagram, like
when you have a draw like that,
right? Like avant-garde Chicago guitarist, that's one circle. And then, you know, 38 Special fans, they're completely overlapping.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, the overlap on that Venn diagram is actually the two of you and no one else, right?
that's actually probably right. Totally.
Yeah. It's just really small.
Like, right. You're like, those circles aren't touching. Wait a minute. They
just
they sort of are. What are those names in there? Will and Barrett.
Yep. Let's see. I think David has. You have at least one live report. You've hinted at two
live reports.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, we already did the jingle, so.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we can't play it twice. We only get it once.
No, can't do it. Can't do it again. No. So I went, I think it was about a year ago, I was talking about this artist, Samia, singer-songwriter. And at the time, she did not have an album, but we talked about her anyway. She had, I think, 6 or 7 songs out at that point, and they were all great, I thought. And, you know, I kind of figured by now she would have an album, but here we are a year later, and she's still putting out the singles. She's put out a few more, but there's no, there's not even an EP. Maybe there never will be. I don't know. But apparently there were a lot of people who were looking forward to hearing from her. And so there's a very enthusiastic crowd at Rough Trade. I would say 80% female and 90% very excited. So it was a good crowd, packed, absolutely packed. And what was interesting also, I mean, she was just great. I mean, I don't have to belabor the fact. I felt a little uneasy because she's a very physical performer. I would even say very sexual, and I was a little uncomfortable being this creepy older guy just, you know, enjoying this very energetic performance, but you know, I tried to restrain myself from looking like I was enjoying it too much. So I think I was okay. I mean, there were when I say physical, you know, it's like there was lying on the floor like the guy from Viagra Boys singing on the from the floor. There was jumping on amplifiers. There was a lot of dancing. There was. And the climax was when they brought out a cake. Someone had baked a cake with a version of her face on it. And she kind of dove into the cake, took big fistfuls of it, ate some of them, threw the rest into the crowd. And so it was wild. It was wild.
Wow.
Did you get caked at all, or were you...
I did not get caked. I was over to the side. I was in the wheel position. I was in the front, but on the side.
Yeah.
So, and the cakes kind of went toward the middle.
Jeremiah, like based on the little, you know, videos he shoots of the shows, he'd have been caked big time.
Oh yeah,
and he got hit square in the face.
I think so. Yeah,
front and center
on the lens of his phone camera.
Right.
Yep. Well,
so the other thing was about this was, you know, there were two opening acts, and you know, there's always the possibility that you're going to be trapped by one of those opening acts. It's just awful, and you stand there looking at your watch, hoping that this is the last song, but then it's not the last song, and there's three more, and you keep hoping, please, please God, let this be the last one. But this was the opposite of that. The opposite. when you walk in and there's nobody in the venue yet because it's the opening act, there's like three people there, and the opening act comes on, you say, oh my God, this is amazing. And that was Squirrel Flower, who is a, I don't know if she's originally from the Midwest, but she has a very Midwestern thing going on. She lived in Iowa for a while, and a lot of the songs are kind of about, you know, winters in the Midwest, and she is absolutely amazing, especially live. I think the records don't quite present the best of her, but live, amazing, totally amazing. So that's a subject for, you know,
Squirrel
future broadcast.
Yeah, that's great when you can get the bang for your buck out of the openers.
Oh my God, yes,
right,
that's great.
Did you seem to be alone in your appreciation, or could you tell the other people around you were also digging it? I mean, it was,
there weren't that many people there at that point, but I think everyone was really digging her.
Was there a second opener then?
And actually the second opener wasn't bad either, but it wasn't like, you know, oh my God, I have to go home and listen to this woman. Mm-hmm. It was, they were just good. You know, they were good. They were fine.
I think I forgot to mention last week when I talked about the Cheap Trick show that was disappointing. The opener, oh my God, opener was just atrocious. It was another one of Rick Nielsen's kids, his band, and it was like they're trying to be, they would aspire to be 38 Special, but they weren't even close, you know?
Wow.
Kind of like, just kind of like roots, hard country rock kind of thing. No, not good at all. So I didn't get my bang for the buck out of that one.
No.
So,
you know, the Cheap Trick has a Madison rock history connection.
What is that?
In 1968, when Otis Redding's plane went down into Lake Monona.
Yeah.
They were then, he was going to play that night. They were the band, I can't remember what their name was. They didn't go by Cheap Trick, but they were the band that ended up playing. They were going to be the opener, and they just went on and played.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is kind of a, I probably,
I think they were called the Grim Reaper, is what they were called back then.
As opposed to Grim Streaker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I had maybe heard that story a long time ago. Yeah. 1968.
Yeah.
No wonder Rick Nielsen's 70 years old now. I mean, that's a lot of time that's gone by. Yeah. David, did you have another live report? Yet another one?
So my first live report, Brooklyn to Brooklyn commute experience, was going to Music Hall of Williamsburg, which is just down the road now. To hear our friend Soak.
Oh, beautiful.
And, well, I have two things to report. She was fantastic. But the second thing is, not enough attendance. Place was not packed.
Hmm.
And, you know, in some ways, it's a pleasant experience for the attendee.
Right.
Because I, you know, walked up to the lip of the stage whenever, you know, without anybody in my way. And, you know, just was able to, get in the Jeremiah position there right in front in the middle and, just move around at will. There was not that many people there.
Oh, that's kind of too bad.
Maybe two thirds full. So a little disappointing for the crowd here, the New York audience, but, she was great.
Yeah, I wonder how they, I don't know, I can't figure out what makes people popular, and I mean, two-thirds still is probably a pretty decent number of people, so I mean, maybe it's just a matter of like picking the right size venue and trying to anticipate, you know, and they're booking this stuff sometimes even before the album comes out, but I was interested in the similar thing, when Big Thief comes to town here, they're playing at the Sylvie, the Arena Rock venue, and I'm like, really, is Big Thief that big? To play a 2,000-seat venue in Madison?
That was shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like,
so
if they were playing at the High Noon, which is, what, like 300 people?
Like, a little more. I think about 400,
400 people.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be like, wow, they're playing there. It would just be like, that's about right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the opposite of the...
You wouldn't even
assume
that it would sell out.
Like when Mitski was going to play at the Majestic, and we were like, no way, that's going to go to a bigger venue. We predicted that accurately.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I love Big Thief. And relevance to this week, Pale Hound is opening, so that'll be a good, that'll be a good show. But it'll be interesting to see how many people they can get in the Sylvie for that. I'm hoping I can get the Will's Band appointed location toward the front.
Mm-hmm.
Should be able to, you'd think, right?
You would think.
Maybe if I just go early and hand them a business card, they'll just kind of put me up there.
Right.
We'll give it a try. So, all right, man, the bonus material is just going crazy this week. So maybe we should start talking about the music we have this week. Anything else? Any preliminaries? Any funny, wacky stories or anything we need to cover first?
I don't think so.
All right.
I'm ready to get into it.
I'm going to nominate, because I'm the guy at the controls. Remember I was talking about that, how I can manipulate everything here? So I'm going to exercise editorial control, and I'm going to start out with Janine's. Because I really like this. It is, you know how Chris, when he really likes something, he'll say, it's right in my wheelhouse. So I think this is kind of the melodic jangle pop with the punchy bass and short songs, and it's just kind of stuff I really like.
Mm-hmm.
The trivia about this band is that it's just two people, I believe, a man and a woman. And the man is a guy who used to be in a band called My Teenage Stride. Do you guys ever listen to them? That was like from mid-2000s, you know?
No.
Over 10 years ago. And they had a, you know, bouncy bass line kind of sound, kind of like this, but they had the singer sounded kind of like, you know, it was kind of a Magnetic Fields kind of singer guy.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's with a woman singer. It's got a whole different vibe to it. So self-titled, it's called Janine's, and it is 16 songs totaling 25 minutes, which means a whole bunch of songs that are like a minute long, which I think is really fun. So I'm going to start out with a song, and it's going to be number 3 called Enough. Minute 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty succinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turn it over to Barrett. I'm afraid he's going to criticize me, but maybe he
won't. No, I mean, initially, I really disliked it a lot. Hmm. I will say that right off the bat. And this song didn't have harmonies, but there's some really, really nice harmonies in here. And if I attempt to pick one of the songs, it will unlikely have those harmonies in it, but... I didn't get to know the names of the songs. They just fly by so fast.
They do fly by fast.
Let's go with a popular one, number 7, Too Late.
Too late.
That was a longer one, minute 17.
Yeah.
So you were very unimpressed.
Well, it's you know, I was kind of trying to find something about it that I would like, and the harmonies suck out it. You know, that one right there didn't have it, but without the harmony, I just don't think her voice is pleasant.
Hmm.
You know, you can imagine if you took the reverb off of that, I just think it would sound that much less good.
Hmm.
But
I guess, you know, we're hearing it from different angles. I think I think they're very catchy.
No, and they're catchy. You know, and it's got a kind of a cutesiness to it, and you know, the lo-fi aesthetic is there, of course. But I found the whole sound of it to be kind of cloying at times.
Hmm.
You know, so but that's just me.
All right, let's see what David thinks.
Well, I don't. I'm not as grumpy about it as Barrett seems to be, but I also am not a huge fan. I kept thinking about the Beths and thinking, yeah, this is what the Beths do, but they do it so much better. So I guess that's my take on it.
There must be some.
I understand the appeal, and you know, I like the sound, but again, I think there are people who do it better.
There must be something about the minimalist sound that just clicks with me more than you guys. So, well, do you have a pick to make, David?
How about number one?
It's called Either Way. Either Way. Yep, Janine's.
Very poppy, very catchy, and I love the accent on that one. So, you know, I like some of the songs. I'm just not a huge fan.
They're so short that I'm going to make you guys listen to some more. Here's one that's 59 seconds long. Number four, Where We Go. At least you don't have to wait very long for the next song.
Right.
You
know? That's always a good thing.
Of course, the sound is kind of the same. So if you really don't go for the whole vibe of it, then you're not going to like the next one either, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, two things. First of all, I think I'd probably like it better live. You know, I think they'd be fun because it is catchy. And the song, you know, the playing is always energetic. And Sounds good. And the other thing is, you know, when I listened to it, I was kind of stuck. You know, you get into those patterns of thinking where the what you don't like about it is all that you really hear, right? Mm-hmm. And then you talked about in your introduction about the bass line and stuff. And, you know, listening to the bass in all four of the songs that we've played so far, it, I mean, if that would have been the first thing that caught my attention when I listened to it, I think I would have had a different reaction overall. But, you know, I don't know what it is. I sometimes I just get stuck on an idea and I can't be moved off it. So that's just stubbornness. And but listening to that bass line, I'm softening on my earlier comments. So given another point or two from what I was thinking before.
Good. It's least it's not horrendous, at least.
No, I don't. I hope I didn't come across saying that. I don't like her voice, but I don't know. Sometimes it seems like a band, you know, their lo-fi aesthetic and stuff is their entire, like, the songs are secondary to the creation of that overall sound that they're going for, you know? And I kind of felt that way a little bit, but the songs are good enough that it overcame some of that objection.
You must not have just, I don't know, to me this has so many hooks, and the songs are great, but I just didn't... it didn't get through to you the same way, I guess. So we've played a bunch of one-minute snippets, so I'm going to play even yet another track, number 10, Why. All right, that's Janine's, and the listeners by now, they will know whether they want to listen to the rest of this or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You know, it sounds
well, like, I think Barrett is right. They probably pretty interesting live, but you know, you just have to be aware that if they do show up live and play their entire album, their set will last 25 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'll be home early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that.
You know, they sound a little like the Vivian Girls, don't you think?
That seemed, I don't remember have that. Their sound in my head very well, but yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Check them out if you feel like it. The next band we're going to talk about, it's not a band. Well, it is too a band. Palehound is a band, right? But it's associated.
I think it's a one-person project.
It's kind of associated
associates.
With.
Associates, yes.
Yeah. Ellen Kempner, and she's from Boston. And when I was thinking about that, just today, listening to this, I was thinking, it has a little bit of Boston sound. In fact, I was going back. This is her third album, and we talked about the second one, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And I went back and listened to some stuff from the first two albums, and it had a little bit of, you know, crunchy J. Mascis guitar in there or something. It's just like, just a little thing where you just say, yeah, there's a little Boston in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fun, right?
Interesting. I'll have to listen for that.
Part of it maybe is just us just deciding that to latch onto something that we, you know, right. Our brains are looking for it, but not as much in this album as in the last two, I think. There's a bit of that. So anyway, yeah. So what are we going to say about Palehound? One of you guys can start off the discussion on this one.
Well, I'm late to the party because I was not aware of the two earlier albums, so I just dove into this one, and I can tell you I'm all in for Pale Hound. It's a great, great record, really great.
This one is called Black Friday, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it definitely has the you know, the really direct, earnest lyrics, which make it kind of cool. Sounds very authentic.
Definitely, including a track that is all lyrics. That would be
right.
Track, well, almost all. It has some guitar in the background, but it's basically a really interesting spoken word piece that she does.
Mm-hmm.
That's track, I don't think we're going to play it, but that would be track 6, I think.
Right, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, lyrics are amazing. Lyrics are really, really good. And so is the music.
So what's your...
No, I'm done.
What is your track you would like to highlight if you must pick one?
Oh, there are 3 or 4 that I would highlight. You know, title track, pretty damn good.
Black Friday. Hound.
Yeah, yep. That one stuck out to me too. Yeah, it's just this, it's heartbreaking, you know. Here I'll quote one of the things she sings a couple of times on the song. Before you said we'd keep in touch, I don't hear from you too much. If you need to call me, I'm too weak to hold your grudge. Like, and you can just hear this like pain and resignation and everything in her voice as she sings it. And
yeah,
it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Totally, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the earlier albums too. Now that I've gotten on board here.
Yeah, I barely listened to the first one, but I think this one's probably better than the second one. So it's kind of, she's getting better as she goes. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So Barrett, let's turn it over to you.
All right. Well, not to pick number 7 again, but this song, when I first heard it, you know, you're like listening to an album and it gets to a song you like and maybe you repeat it. I probably put it on repeat about 5 times.
Yes.
When I was out running, and it's called Bullshit. And yeah, it's one of my favorite songs this year so far.
Thank you. again. Show you a picture of you that I really love. You cringe and ask if you like that in person.
Yeah, definitely a good one.
Yeah. One thing I like about that is where she's singing, like, what can I do? And then there's, like I don't know if it's a voice or an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of harmonizing with it.
Yeah.
I still can't figure it out, but it just sends shivers up my spine.
It's a cool layered reverb-y sound. Yeah. Yep. That's another good one.
I'm surprised as a coffee guy that Barrett didn't pick the song Urban Drip, though.
Well, yeah. There's only, you know, we only get to pick one.
That's true. Yeah,
in rare
that's
cases, too.
That is a good one, though.
There are, I like the ones you guys picked, and but my two favorites have not yet been chosen. And it's a hard one. It's hard for me to choose between these two. I'll just tell you, it's numbers 4 and 5, Worthy and Killer. They're just great. I think I'm going to play Killer, number 5.
Absolutely. I just want to pat us all on the back because we picked 3 songs that were completely different and they were all great.
And the rest of the album is pretty different too. I mean, there's like that bouncy, wacky song about getting a shitty tattoo and, you know.
Right, right.
It,
and the spoken word one and the city, which is very interesting and
it's really
meditative.
It's quite an accomplishment, really, right. I think.
Yeah, if I were at that Sylvie show, I would appreciate this more than Big Thief. I like the Big Thief just fine, but hadn't hooked on to me.
It'll be very interesting to see. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss that more in about 4 months. They booked that one in advance.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's in the fall?
Yeah, it's in October.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know,
anyone who walks into that knowing only Big Thief, which probably is going to be 80% of the audience, right?
Maybe.
They're gonna have the same experience I was talking about, which is the opener comes on.
Like, wait a minute! Yeah.
What the hell is this? This is amazing. So,
yeah, you know they have to do the tour. They got to hit all the cool places: Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Atlanta. You got to hit the East Coast, West Coast, all that stuff. And then at the very end, you're like, might as well do a Madison show.
Yeah, why not?
Tack one on at the end.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. I don't know what Big Thief is doing, but Pale Hound is playing Brooklyn next month.
Well, there you go. Better sign up for that one.
I think I better.
Very good. Good. Well, we are in agreement on this one, it sounds like. No, nobody's trashing mm-hmm. anybody's picks on this one.
Yep. So,
all right. Should we move on? I just remembered I have a thing. I have an extra thing, too. Should I do the extra thing first, or should I do the band first?
I think you should do the band first.
Yeah, we'll do
make people wait for
that. Yeah, just there's something coming up. It's an anniversary. You know how we're, you know, the older we get, the more we're going to, you know, it's going to be the something anniversary of something, right?
Right.
It's always the something anniversary of something.
That is true.
But it's a good one that I read about. It's a fun one. So, all right, let's talk about the Nicole Yoon album. Nicole Yoon is the singer for Eternal Summers, and I've pretty much followed them through their career and liked pretty much all their albums. I remember Barrett being a little underwhelmed about the last one. I think you said that it was kind of just standard indie rock and didn't stand out much. But I think they're a good band. And of course, Chris has to like them because they're from Roanoke, Virginia, and he's got a connection. He either lived there or like really close to there, right?
Yeah, I mean, he grew up in D.C. area.
Suburban D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Nicole Yoon put out a solo album. And I think Eternal Summers are still an active band, but it's kind of just to branch out and record a bunch of songs that you wouldn't necessarily want to put as your band's songs.
Right.
People do that, right? Right. Sure. You know, like if she were Bob Pollard, she'd have like 10 albums of her own stuff by now.
Exactly.
Correct.
But so this album is called Paper Suit. And it's worthy, I think. And we're gonna play some music from it. As long as I'm still talking, I'll pick a track number 3, And After All.
Thank you.
Nicole Yoon.
As usual, you took my top pick.
I did. Hmm.
Yep.
Well, we have a knack for that. We're music journalists. We always know what the top picks are. We know better than that, whatever that star is they put next to it on Apple Music, right?
Right. Yeah, who does that?
Well, Chris and I were talking about that, and we didn't know. Like, Chris thought it was some kind of automated mechanism. And I thought maybe the artist just chose to, they could just choose to put a star by something. He's like, we want you to start with this track or something.
Right.
So we don't really know. It's a mystery. Most likely it's some kind of big corporate thing, though, right? It's got to be
an algorithm.
It's a secret evil thing, probably. well, I guess we have to go to your second pick then, David.
I think it's number 6, Destroy Me.
We'll play that, and then we'll find out what you think of the album. Was close. My wife just walked into the studio, and I was going to try to get her to say something on the podcast, and she just escaped really fast.
She did.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And she was like a cat burglar. She came in and grabbed something off of that shelf.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had anything important.
She was just gone.
There, but...
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. That was Nicole Yoon, and So, David, what do you think overall?
Well, there's a couple of songs that I kind of skip when I'm playing it. But other than that, yeah, I think it's a pretty solid record.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's a reasonable creative outlet for her. I'm not going to call it a standout, but I think it's she's a very good singer, and not just a singer, a good songwriter too. So, yeah, reasonably good, I'm going to say. Barrett, any impressions?
You know, I don't feel it's fair for me just to, because I did not listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know ahead of time, and. Yeah, I'm not going to just spout off some, uninformed opinion about it. So
didn't they have the thing on, was it Dick Clark? Wasn't there a show where they'd play a song, like, for the very first time for somebody?
Oh, yeah.
And they would have to say, like, what's your impression of this song? Like, just
totally.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if I were put on the spot like that, I'd say that it's, I'm on the Dick Clark show.
Yeah.
It's danceable and, it's pretty groovy.
I really kind of like the beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll play one more. Number 5, Two Eyes.
Thank you.
My computer went out of control and started fading it a little before I normally would. And I decided, well, we'll just fade it. That's good. That was a good representation. Nicole Yoon. So check it out. So those are our new music selections. And it sounds like we have a consensus top pick of Palehound this week. And we have a minority pick by me of Janine's. And then we've got then we've got Nicole Yoon. So do the listeners have enough?
I feel like you have one more thing to give the listeners.
I have the bonus material, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they haven't gotten enough, then surely that'll be enough.
If you're not up to $0, you're about to be. Guess what came out 25 years ago, exactly 25 years ago. Well, I guess 25 years ago yesterday.
Let's see.
June 21st, 1994.
I don't know. Something by the Stone Temple Pilots.
Maybe. B-1000 came out by the Guided by Voices classic that, you know, remains one of my top albums probably in my, you know, music listening life. I've probably told this story before, but I remember being in my car and driving to work, and I was, at the time, I was parking in a parking ramp, and I pulled my car up into the car into the spot in the parking ramp, and I just sat there and had to listen to like three more songs before I left the car. You know, when an album hits you like that, that's pretty cool, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, and I think I was just barely late to the party by like maybe a year or two. I didn't hear this right when it came out, but anyway. It's a classic, and I was.
I'm surprised that there isn't more attention being paid to this anniversary because I mean, don't you think there should be some kind of public celebration?
Sure, absolutely, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, I went through this and I thought, well, what do you play on a 20-track album? And part of the whole adventure of the album is it's got a lot of oddball, and it's like it's sort of classic lo-fi, really lo-fi. And there's a lot of just oddball twists and turns on it if you listen to the whole thing. But one that's really pretty good, just standing on its own, I'm going to play number 9. Gold Star for Robot Boy.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, 25 years ago.
Yep. Interestingly, something came out on this album's 10th anniversary, which I thought you were going to talk about.
Really?
A Ghost is Born.
It's the 15
years ago today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a classic, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I like that better than its predecessor, which is maybe a controversial opinion to have. But
the predecessor was Sky Blue Sky, right?
No. This was before Sky Blue Sky. This was right after Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. God, oh, I somehow messed up that sequence in my head. So, yeah, of course, we're talking about Wilco. Yeah, I mean...
I think that's blasphemy, but okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't like Yankee as much as Summer Teeth either.
You can't say things like that about Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. You just can't.
Well, what
it's their fourth best album, which is pretty good considering how many albums they have.
So
yep. That's true.
My only criticism, I have two criticisms of A Ghost Is Born. The song Spiders Kid Smoke is 10 minutes long, and that's too long. And the song Less Than You Think is 15 minutes long, and that's way too long. So,
yeah.
Cut those down.
Impossible Germany on that album?
You know, I was kind of wondering, but no, I think
that's Impossible. On Sky Blue Sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one thing I don't like about this album is when an album starts out really, really quietly, which this one does.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, whatever. It's an artistic choice. It's valid, whatever, but I just tend not to like it that's the case.
You'd rather have it start with something a little more, with a little more energy.
Yeah, like a little immediacy. Just like, you know, I mean, the song, at least that's what she said, is a pretty quiet song, but it starts off so quietly that it's barely there.
Yeah, well, you know.
Jams out.
Jeff Tweedy does that. Mm-hmm. He likes to be quiet. So, well, if. Hey, 15th anniversary. You want to make a pick? Should we play something?
Sure. How about, let's see. Why don't we go with Hell Is Chrome?
That's number two.
Was not red. He was chrome, and he said, "Come with me. You must go." So I went.
You know, as long as we're being controversial, I got to say, I actually like Summer Teeth more than Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Absolutely.
Oh, Barrett was agreeing.
Yeah, that's
with
my
that.
Favorite by. Yep, definitely.
And I also like Being There more than Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
As do I. We agree on those two things.
Oh, my God.
I just put A Ghost Is Born at 4 and you put it at 3. Or wait. I don't know where you put A Ghost Is Born. You didn't say. I'm putting words into your mouth.
So we're ranking four or five,
Yankee at there. What yeah. I meant to say is you put Yankee Hotel at 3, I put it at 4.
I think part of my issue is that I did hear Being There, and I kind of latched on to that one. But I didn't listen to Summer Teeth that much, and then I heard Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, so it kind of overshadowed Summer Teeth for me, just because I didn't listen to it that much at the time. But I think, Barrett, that's a good example of what we just played, of how it's kind of slow, and I think it's hard to really get a feel for the album without listening to more than just that. You know?
As I was listening to that, after I blurted that out, I was like, if it wouldn't waste so much time, I'd be like, all right, dump that, edit that out, I'm going to pick Company in My Back instead. One of the more kind of livelier ones, but It's kind of funny that my one criticism is that the album starts out too quietly.
Yeah, and then we play the quiet thing.
Right, at least it started off and, right, you know, I played one that's even a little like a gear lower than it started.
Yeah, well, but 15 years.
15 years, that's a long time.
Yep.
We were barely even old.
Did anything come out exactly 5 years ago now that we should talk about it?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, I don't know.
We could research it right now, but it would take forever, and we've already gone like a long time. People are like, get on with this. Get out of here.
There's some LCD sound system record that came out 5 years ago or something, probably.
Yeah, probably. Something. Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out after we stop recording. We'll be regretting that we missed it. But all right, thanks, you guys. We're going to keep on rocking and rolling. I'm going to be out.
We have no choice.
Going to be out the first couple weeks of July, so the question is going to be whether we can record a couple of little bonus podcasts just so we have something every week. So we might have to skip a week or even two, or we might somehow throw something out there, which I'm hoping we can do. So I might need to call you guys in for emergency podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like the news podcast, you have, listen to any news podcast where they like a big news story comes out and they call it an emergency podcast.
Right.
We must record a podcast right now because it's so important, right?
Right.
Well, it's kind of like that. If I'm going to be gone and we need to have a podcast out there, it's sort of an emergency, don't you think?
Yeah.
Kind of like when a Proto Martyr album comes out and you didn't know it was coming out and you have to assemble all the troops.
Right. Like at 3 a.m, we record a podcast so it's up within the hour.
Right.
Yeah.
We'd also do it like they would on a television series, you know? You know, they'd all go home and then come back the next week and record it again, right? They do a bunch of them in a row. We could
do
that.
Good point. We could just stay here all day right now and just keep recording.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we have other things to do. So, great. Thanks, David. Hope that move to indie rock, Brooklyn for indie rock stardom is going okay, and you're getting settled in.
Yep, it's working out. It's working out.
Good. All right, we should sign off. Thanks everybody for listening. If you've made it this far, we could do that thing where we give a code. You know who always gets the code when we do that? Jason always gets it.
He does.
Yeah. He'd win all the time. He'd win every week.
You know the other thing, the T-shirt. I did send it on to.
Oh, good.
Rand.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did he acknowledge it?
Not yet. I sent it UPS, and I'm sure it clicked like, you know, the cheapest way to get it there.
Yeah,
you
take know?
Like
a
have
month.
Some guy walk it there if you want. I don't right. care. Just bring it to the guy.
Can you imagine, like, just randomly getting a Will's Band of the Week shirt in the mail?
Yeah,
boy, that'd be pretty exciting.
And be like,
It would.
Wow, Christmas in June.
I was just talking to Grant because he was just wearing his Will's Band of the Week shirt. And I first said, excellent choice of shirt. But then we were talking about how we keep the supply level down so that keeps the value up.
Right.
Imagine how much those things are worth. Even now, it's probably totally. Like doubled in value.
Well, using the
scarcity value.
Exactly. Yep. Because let's be honest, the demand is very low.
Yeah.
So the supply has to be microscopic.
Right, because you know. but the thing is, we made 10, and the demand is like for 12. So it's that 2 extra that keeps the value up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yep. All right.
And if you had only made 6, you could be really cleaning up at this point.
Yeah, that's a good. If we made 1, it'd be worth like $100,000, right? If we only made 1.
Yeah.
Because the demand would be 12 times as much.
Infinite.
Yeah, it could be like just like trying to divide by 0. Just can't even do it. It's incalculable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good enough. Thanks. We'll talk to everybody again next week. I think. Maybe the week after even. We'll see. With another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.